Okay, so Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio always likes to explore some of the new exciting things that occur across the land, whether it be the York Maze, whether it be the county shows, whatever really. And indeed, looking ahead to 2020, we're already looking at the possibility of the Wet Wang Scarecrow Festival. But before that happens, and in all sorts of other wonderful ways, we're delighted to actually, this very Saturday, actually be checking out in Lazenby a whole new series of scarecrow parades and such like, and the person who's responsible for that and putting these things together for the villages of Lazenby and beyond is Liz Robinson. Liz, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So Liz, talk to us about this particular event. How long has it been going and why you decided to come up with this whole notion of let's do a scarecrow parade?
Well, what it was, there's been a scarecrow festival in the East Cleveland area for about the last 4 years. It was started by a lady called Denise Nesbitt, and I got involved through another lady who actually comes to my husband's bridge class that he teaches, a lady called Pam Raymond, and she told me all about it. I thought, this sounds absolutely brilliant, and it could just be the thing for Lazenby. And that's how it all started. And in January, we had a little get-together of a few interested people learning how to make scarecrows from Pam. And then it's gone from there. We've had support from the local councillors who've donated some money for us to buy banners and bits and pieces of craft for the children. And we've had more and more scarecrows appearing. The last count, we had about 20 dotted around because Lazenby is only a small village. But my husband's come in this morning and told me there's another one appeared overnight in one of the streets. So that's absolutely lovely. Lots and lots of people are taking part.
Absolutely. And so we mentioned at the start of the piece, obviously, the mayor of Wet Wang, the former Richard Madeley, of course, very responsible for getting his Scarecrow Festival going. But there's lots of creativity going all in terms of making sure that people are well aware about the importance of scarecrows and, of course, the creativity that goes behind them as well.
Oh, they're fantastic. We've got, you wouldn't believe the variety of scarecrows we've got. We've got Batman's on the wall near the village hall. We've got a medieval night guard in the village hall. There's a couple, Princess Fiona and Mrs. Dursley are in the school grounds. They were made by the school children. We've got Bo Peep and a sheep. We've got a grandmother reading to her grandson in one of the closes. I'm just trying. We've got minions, traditional scarecrows. We've got the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy and all the participants from that film down in front of the local home. It's absolutely amazing, and there's a brilliant one. It's called Hedge Shearin, and it's Ed Sheeran cutting a hedge.
It's like we did there, fantastic. Nice to see we've avoided any political folks, so no Boris Johnson, no Nigel Farage.
Oh, no, nothing like that. And it's been absolutely fantastic. You wouldn't believe, you know, people come, I've had phone calls, I've had people knocking at the door. Can we make one? Can we be, because what we're going to do, they're all scattered around the village, and I've got someone coming round on Saturday morning very early to judge them all. I'm sure it'll be a difficult task, but The lady and gentleman who are going to do it will give it a good shot. And then later on in the village hall, we've just got some little rosettes to give out to the winners. And then there's going to be a scarecrow-themed fancy dress party for the children. And we've also got scarecrow-related crafts in the hall for the children to do, which include making little scarecrows. We've got little plaques for them to colour in and keep as a souvenir. Oh, yeah, it's absolutely brilliant.
Sounds absolutely amazing, and I'm sure it will be. Clearly, as say, the people who might be listening to this say, is it too late to actually enter a scarecrow? I mean, if they sort of are hearing this, I don't know, towards the end of the week, is it a case of as long as they get the scarecrow to you by, let's say, midnight on Friday, it can still be entered?
Yes. We're unusual in that we're running the scarecrows over a two-week period. We've running from the 10th to the 24th, but a few scarecrows went up before the date, and I'm sure there'll be some up after the date. Mine will be coming down because I'm going away, but I know other people will be leaving them up. So as long as they get to the village, if it's someone from outside the village, if they give me a ring on my mobile number.
Okay, we'll hold fire on that. We won't go out on number as yet, but at this point of view, perhaps the easiest thing would be if they get in touch with us at the radio station, info@southsideradio.com,
yes,
and we can pass on our details from that point of view.
Yes, now, that would be brilliant. magazine.
Social media, do you actually have images on Instagram, Facebook, or have we not moved to that stage as yet? Is it a case of you need to see them in person?
I would prefer them in person if we could, because we've got places where we haven't got any, and right. We could drop them about.
Okay.
My daughter runs our Facebook page, which I understand is called Lazenby Village Hall, but there are pictures up on there. There's a scarecrow trail up on there as well, so people can have a look. There's a little quiz that she's done, so it's not just go and see the scarecrow at number 22, whatever. There's a little clue there so you can have a guess of what it is, and we've got pirates, so there's pirate themed questions, things like that.
And I'm just intrigued, Liz, in terms of actually the judging of the scarecrows, because I would have thought, I mean, do you actually bring some crows along, and it depends on who's actually sort of the most frightened of the whole thing, you determine whether it's a successful scarecrow or not?
Well, we've had feedback on that, because I was talking to some of the children yesterday and asking them if they were going to come to the fancy dress on Saturday, and one girl and one boy both said, we ran down round the corner at the village hall, and that scarecrow that's hung up really scared us, and that's Batman, that's one of those made by the children. And I've got a pirate outside my front door, and every time I go out I think, oh, what's up there? Then I realise it's my pirate. So they do work, yeah. And we've got some scarecrow pictures in the hall, because the children didn't actually connect scarecrow and crows, because it's not something that they're used to. Oh. And when we explain that these are the type of birds that the scarecrows were chasing away from the farmers' crops, they're absolutely amazed.
Well, I'm actually looking at the Facebook page now, Scarecrow Social, of course, the 10th, 17th, 24th of August, so lots of other things there. But the Village Hall team, very busy planning the Scarecrow Festival. Three events upcoming, starting, of course, 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m, tea and coffee for sale, activities for younger children. And, of course, this coming Saturday, the 17th, there'll be scarecrow judging and a scarecrow fancy dress. And a reminder, as you've rightly said, Liz, if you have a scarecrow, you need to place it on display on the evening of the 9th, the morning of the 10th, and indeed contact the wonderful folk at Lazenby Village Hall on the Facebook page to let them know that it is actually up there, otherwise they won't know. So just use a personal message to actually go into the scarecrow or judging thing. I'm looking at the photographs, some very impressive scarecrows there actually, lots of sort of things already sort of going into place for that. And the Lazenby scarecrow, not connected of course with George Lazenby, the former James Bond in Her Majesty's Secret Service, but you know, still doing good stuff. What are you most looking forward to, Liz, about the whole event itself?
Oh, just having a wander around, have a look at the, seeing how many more are up, because I've walked around with my husband, we've walked around two or three times, and each time we're surprised at people's creativity and the number that are appearing for such a small village, because we've only got 350 houses in the whole village, and at the last count we had over 20 scattered around the village, so the more the merrier. Absolutely. Oh. Everybody join in.
There you go. There seems to be a Batman scarecrow as well, I'm looking at as well from that point of view.
That's so, the one that's been scaring the children as they ran round the corner.
Right.
That was made by the village school children. And can I just say how much support we've had from the school, from the head teacher and the other teachers, encouraging the children to take part. If you come to the hall on Saturday, you'll see the bunting that the children made. They've made three great big strings of bunting that we've got draped around the village hall, and it's absolutely fabulous.
Well, hopefully we'll be accompanied by York Atkinson. He is a postgraduate student, in fact, a postgraduate of Newcastle University, so I don't think he should get too scared, but you never know. So York will be with us, and we look forward to checking out Lazenby Village Hall, seeing, of course, what will by then be the winning scarecrows from that point of view, and catching up with your good self, Liz, because I think it's fantastic that you're doing this great thing. A reminder, of course, it's Lazenby Village Hall. You need to go to at Lazenby Village Hall for all the various posts, etc. And you can also keep appraised of how the Lazenby Village Hall is going, and you can probably listen again to this as well. Liz, looking ahead to 2020, is the intention to actually say, yeah, we'll be going head-to-head with Wet Wang, we're on your case, Wet Wang, you know, we're going to go for that, you know?
Well, people are already talking about next year, because some of the scarecrows, obviously, will be stored.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at storage problems, obviously, because we've had lots of rain, so hopefully we've got to dry them out.
Mm.
Both people are talking about, oh, what I'm going to do next year. I mean, I've only done a simple one this year, but I've got a marvellous plan for next year. So, yeah, why not? Why not go up against Wet Wang in 2020.
It'll be happening for the moment. Liz, many thanks indeed, and we will speak again on Saturday. Take care now.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you for getting involved.
So it is that time where clearly lots of young people are finding out what their results are and so on. More than 8 in 10 people actually experiencing high stress levels as they await their A-level results. And to actually talk about the importance of A-levels or indeed alternatives to A-levels, we're delighted to welcome the awesome Deputy CEO of Arden University. That's Victoria Stakelham. How are you, Victoria?
I'm very well, thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. So it seems as though it to be an annual thing when we sort of feel as though it's obviously the beginning of the end of the summer season when we actually feature Victoria on the programme to talk about life, the universe and of course Arden University. But this survey that's come through again, it does suggest that there's an awful lot of excessive stress put on our young people with lots of people sort of saying, well, yeah, you might remember everything, you might have crammed in for it, but then does it actually help in later life?
Indeed. So, yes, against a backdrop of unprecedented levels of stress for young people, our own research suggests that really once you move to the next stage of your career or education, A-levels play a very small role. Over half of people never really draw on what they learnt during their A-levels. And three-quarters of people aren't over 30, haven't been asked in A-levels in the last 10 years, if ever. So whilst there's all of this pressure and focus on A-levels, they don't bear too much importance for too long, actually.
It's kind of like a rite of passage in many ways, isn't it? It would be easier to actually turn around and say, well, parents are very difficult to bring into the world, but it shouldn't be underestimated that actually one of the reasons is that clearly children in the main want to kind of impress their parents to or at least to please their parents and so on. So that might be another reason why people are actually saying, OK, we need to go down this route.
I think there is a lot of pressure from parents, from the media, from schools, who, of course, have statistics to meet and targets to meet. There's a lot of pressure and focus on young people. And, of course, it is both a rite of passage and a stepping stone to that next step for youngsters. But I think this notion that there is only one path, that it's from A level, from school to A levels to university, is perhaps where some of that pressure comes from, and that gives people a sense that if they don't get the results they hoped for on Thursday, that's going to spell disaster. But of course it doesn't. You know, people bounce back, they come to education later, and increasingly people are taking a more strategic and lifelong approach to education and learning, and marrying it more to their employability and their workplace progression, which I think is very important.
So, Victoria, what tips would you actually share with people who they were listening to this and thinking, yes, well, fine, it would have been very well if Victoria had been around when I was doing my A-levels and helping me through with those sort of systems. But, you know, I've moved on since then, point of view, might be in my early 20s, might be later than that. But they're looking to upskill their current qualifications. Is this somewhere or some way in which Arden University can actually help out?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Arden has a fine tradition of supporting adults returning to education, and helping them overcome the perceived barriers, because people often feel constrained, you know, particularly once they've got families and mortgages and are sort of partway into their career, it often feels unattainable to return to higher education. We've specialised in supporting adults to overcome those hurdles around time, cost, and location by having a very flexible higher education model, a range of very workplace-tailored professional degree subjects, and a model that's really built around applied learning and behavioural skills and attributes that have value in the workplace. We build our programmes with employers to make sure they're very targeted. So for older adults considering a return to higher education, I think Arden is a fantastic option. There are other universities as well that I think across the sector there is a move towards perhaps a bit more flexibility, but Arden's really led the way there.
I must admit, Victoria, one of the things that astounds me is how you actually manage to look after three children. You do running, you do yoga, you look after an organic allotment, and you also write songs and perform with an indie music band. This is phenomenal. In fact, I'm looking forward, Victoria, to the time when we can actually have a musical version of this particular interview and open up a whole range of things from there. But meanwhile, in terms of people listening to this and say results coming through and they're getting the results, would you effectively say the key things to remember, pretty much what Douglas Adams said in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, don't panic?
Don't panic is an important one. I'm a big fan of just breathe, be with it, take some time to reflect and do your research. There are lots of opportunities. You know, think about how you can build your social and professional capital. Tap into your network of friends, family, colleagues, you know. Think about your skills as an individual and how you might best apply those. There are lots of opportunities. University is a wonderful, traditional university is a wonderful opportunity. So is a less traditional higher education experience at a university like Arden, or indeed travelling or gaining work experience. You know, if you're facing results this week, the world is your oyster, whatever those results may be, actually.
And certainly that journey, the sort of experiences and the aspects that you get. I mean, if you take your own degree in archaeology and anthropology, you know, there's a load of areas there in terms of transferable skills that can be used and applied in different areas and worked through accordingly.
That's absolutely right. But I've also gained a lot through the other things I've been involved in, some of the things you've listed on
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
You know.
An organic allotment grower and indeed an indie music band singer is just phenomenal. It's great. You know, we need to go with that.
It's quite diverse.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things, that the skills I learned through those pursuits help me day in, day out as well. So I think there is too much pressure on young people today and this sense that it's a kind of one-hit opportunity. So I'd encourage people to stay positive, you know, draw on their resilience and resourcefulness to bounce back and, you know, find an alternative path. If the path they expected doesn't prove to be the one that is, you know, quite right or materialising.
Arden.ac.uk would be a useful website to actually check out if people are looking to follow through some of the things we talked about today. Would you suggest?
Absolutely, and we have some great resources on the knowledge base there. We also have a guide to clearing 2019, so whatever Thursday holds for people, there are lots of resources there that I hope people would find useful.
Victoria Stakelum, Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Arden University. Many thanks indeed, and I'm sure we'll speak again. We must, obviously, Victoria, just to actually go down the musical route. I mean, we must set that as a definite target.
OK, done.
The recent survey suggesting that more than 2 in 5 young people have ambitions to set up their own business during their working life. Clearly, the financial management skills necessary to help become an entrepreneur are fairly critical. And to actually talk about this, we're delighted to welcome the Director of Strategy and Professional Standards at the AAT. That would be the wonderful Adam Harper. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Alex. One of the things that we've picked up is that self-employment rates in the UK itself has risen quite considerably since the turn of the century. You can see the situation whereby the number of self-employed workers has increased from approximately 3.3 million in 2001 to 4.8 million in 2017. So in many ways, these findings re-emphasise that sort of preparedness for individuals to go it alone.
And it's certainly good news when now we start thinking about the future. I mean, given obviously the political situations and various other bits and pieces, we need more entrepreneurs who are going to be successful heading into the 21st century, don't we?
Absolutely. I think it's also important to bear in mind that whilst in the UK we're extremely good at seeing individuals setting up on their own, there is a risk that approximately half of all new businesses can fail within the first 3 years. And one of the key factors behind that is around sort of financial management skills. So again, one of the advantages that we would emphasise is that by gaining appropriate financial management skills, that provides a really solid platform upon which that you can then build, whether or not you persist with your own business. They are transferable skills that you could take into the employment space. But inevitably, if you're seeking to survive as a fledgling business, having those sound financial skills to back you up will be really important. And that's something where obviously AAT is able to help in terms of providing access to those skills, whether that be in terms of formal qualifications or shorter training courses, the sorts of things that we're able to deliver. But as you rightly point out, I think it's important to recognise that there is that entrepreneurial spirit in these individuals. I think that within the survey, 43% of those that were surveyed want to start their business. And I think it's essential, therefore, that we're in a position to support those ambitions, providing them with the platform to build on that with transferable skills to succeed in whatever career they choose.
The Association of Accounting Technicians, in case people are wondering, what does AAT stand for from
Absolutely.
That point of view?
Yeah.
Just worth the while noting that from that point of view, it can actually act as a good boost from that perspective. What other sort of qualifications or know-hows would you recommend to people who are considering, again, a change in their career? I mean, if they're sort of listed as 1920, maybe they're at university, maybe they've decided to actually not go to university, etc. Is there a way in which this can actually sort of plug into their own particular feelings and thoughts and career aspirations?
Well, what was interesting, if you look at the results from from the survey, the individuals who responded reflected themselves that the skills they believe to be the most important for the future market would be communication skills. And again, you can see how that's something which would be transferable irrespective as to which sector you're looking to work in, followed by problem-solving skills and then tech skills. And obviously, with the advances in technology, the way in which automation is moving forward, that in itself is going to be a destabilizing factor. So essentially, if you've gotten that combination of technical know-how backed up with more sort of like people management skills through communication and problem solving, I think that's a really important combination to have. We've got a section on our website dedicated to this. So if you go to aat.org.uk and then look for the link to Career in Finance, it provides some valuable information for those that are perhaps wanting to start a career in finance, but also for those that are looking to grow their career or looking to change careers. And again, one of the things that came out from the survey was that people are anticipating the need to change careers during their life. And whilst there aren't any definitive statistics on this, what we were seeing through that is that 1 in 6 believe they'll change career once. And 16% of those responded anticipate they're going to change their job 3 times during their working lifetime. I think the kind of current prevailing trend is that people may well find that somewhere between 5 and 12 times during their career they will change their jobs. But there's an awful lot of information there at aat.org.uk, Career in Finance.
Adam Harper, AAT's Director of Strategy and Professional Standards. A reminder, of course, AAT is Association of Accounting Technicians. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you very much.